Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share ideas and strategies. I tell stories about what worked, but also those big epic fails that I learned from myself. And I interview experts, all because I truly believe the teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And today we're going to do something a little bit different. I don't do this often. In fact, I think I've only done this once or twice, maybe ever. I'm going to share a short story, a fiction story. And the reason why is we have been talking about AI a lot on this podcast lately. And I am working through the finishing touches. In fact, if you check out my Instagram, it's at Spencer Education. You will see that I have posted my book cover for the AI roadmap. And I am really excited about that. And in this book, I decided to include a short story. And I know it's a bit odd. You don't expect it from an education book. And I know that you don't expect it from a podcast either. But I kind of like doing things that are, well, a little bit unexpected. And so I have no idea if this will resonate with you or not, but the following is a short story I wrote that captures, I think, some of my thoughts around AI. It's a short story about AI, teaching, learning, heroes, superpowers, and it's a pretty sharp departure from my typical blog posts and podcasts, but my hope is that you will enjoy it as much as I enjoyed writing it. So without further ado, here we go. Six months ago, Rose thought it was a prank, some kind of avant-garde exhibit from the humanities department, put the engineering kids through a weird experience and call it art. But after reviewing the technology and the classified documents, she now accepted it as a reality. The heroes, the superpowers, the comic books she pored over as a kid and still pored over as a college sophomore. It was real. All of it. Someday she might become a lead engineer designing the next generation of devices for heroes. She'd be in a graphic novel. Okay, maybe not her. But her inventions would be there. They'd probably make her a generic figure in a lab coat. Maybe she'd be an eccentric old man with gray hair, but who cares? The inventions would remain for the entire series, permanent in print. So far, she was the number one on the leaderboard. She had solved major issues in seemingly broken technology, and she had solved huge design challenges in the VR simulation room. But now that she leveled up, she was learning the ropes by providing simple technology help for current heroes. How hard could that be? If she aced 10 house calls, she could move on as a full-time R&D intern, and from there, who knows, maybe she could someday run this lab. But not today. Today, she would provide basic instructions to a hero who couldn't get his Gear app to work on his tablet. Rose walked across the winding driveway and trudged up the steps. "Remember, these are action heroes, not thinking heroes," she whispered to herself. She took a deep breath and pressed the doorbell. "Hello there," a gentle voice answered. It was nothing like the booming voice she had seen in the movies. "I'm from Gear Industries," she said. "Swell, come right in." The door handle jiggled. "Oh, right, it's automatic. There's a button for this somewhere." The screen above the doorbell flashed on. Rose studied the man in the pastel yellow cardigan as he pulled out a pair of glasses and leaned in toward the camera. He looked to be in his mid-20s, but he dressed like her great-grandfather. "Please excuse the delay. I'm afraid the buttons aren't labeled," he said, leaning into the camera. Rose squinted. He moved so methodically for a hero with super speed. "Don't worry, just push any of the buttons," Rose said. "What if it's the wrong button?" his voice faltered. "You'll be fine," she answered. He ran his hands through his perfectly combed hair. "I can do this," he mumbled as he waved his finger around the touchscreen. And finally he shrugged and tapped a button. The porch lights turned on. "Well, that's not it," he muttered. I can help you with this," Rose said in the perkiest voice she could muster. Her phone buzzed. She tapped on the screen and an image popped up of the Gear Industry Hero Home Security System interface. The man in the cardigan clicked another button and the sprinklers turned on. "Okay, it's the third button down on the left," she said as she looked up from her screen and sidestepped the stream of a sprinkler. "Got it," he said. 5 lasers pointed at Rose's head. A high-pitched alarm began chirping. "Initiating intruder destruction mode," a robotic voice warned. Both the voice and the alarm were far too friendly for this present reality. Rose's heart raced. The facial recognition program was supposed to override this type of human error. How could it fail? She'd tested it 19 times in the lab. The AI even told her she had a, quote, strong jawline, which was maybe supposed to be a compliment, right? It shouldn't be doing this. "Did you press the third button down on the left?" Rose asked. "Oh, my left. I assumed it was your left," he said. "Why would you think that?" Rose asked. 9 seconds, the robotic voice said. "There's a red override button. It's bright red. Can't miss it," she said. 8 seconds, the robotic voice calmly spoke. "I don't see any buttons. It's just a flat screen," he answered. "Yes, the flat screen. There's a button. You mean the red square?" "Yes, the red square. That's the override. Press it." 3, 2, Rose braced for the impact. Her first service call, and she'd be incinerated. Click! The door flew open. The alarms had stopped. She stood there, frozen, unable to move at all. "That was close," the man said. Rose fell forward and let out a huge sigh. She still couldn't speak. "I'm Frank. And by that, I mean my name and not my character. I tend to be more subtle than Frank," he said, holding out a sweaty hand. She took it and shook his hand, offering her best nervous smile. "I'm Rose, and by that, I mean my name and not my hue," she answered. "Aside from your hair," he said with a smile. She brushed her pink bangs away from her face. He continued, "When I was your age, I begged my mother to allow me to color my hair pink, but she refused. Times were different. I'm here to help you install the Gear Industries app on the..." "Oh, drat. I think I provided you with my alter ego name rather than my hero name," Frank interrupted. "I already knew your alter ego name," Rose said as they walked across the massive entryway, through a corridor and toward the kitchen. "I know all about you. I've read about every villain you defeated. I read about and reread every one of your graphic novels when I was little. You seemed to just disappear. You almost hit public domain. But then we learned that you were frozen. And then that movie came out and..." "Did you say graphic novel?" I'm not a novelist. And if I were, I doubt I would write anything violent enough to be graphic," Frank said. "I would go character-driven and probably a little bit bucolic." "Sorry, comics. I read your comics," Rose said. She knew his entire backstory. His super speed, his ability to breathe underwater, the way they cryogenically froze him after World War II to preserve him in case of the emergency of a nuclear disaster during a Cold War. "Would you like a beverage?" he asked. "I'm good," Rose answered. "I have some hot chocolate," he added. "You know, they have this swell new machine that makes the hot chocolate all by itself. You grab a tiny plastic cup and voila, the wonders. But I prefer my homemade recipe." "Are you sure you wouldn't like to try it? It's the cat's pajamas, if you ask me." Well, maybe I could. He snapped his fingers. I'll take that as a less than enthusiastic yes. Now, let me see here. This is what they call a smart kitchen. I have an assistant. She's an invisible electrical ghost servant who helps me open drawers and whatnot. It's perfectly capable of trifling through the kitchen by myself, but the Gear Industries insists that I make use of this virtual ghost assistant lady. I believe her name is Val. How can I help you? An automated voice spoke. Oh, I didn't mean to bother you. I feel terribly sorry that I spoke your name right then, Val. I am at your service, she answered. I find that a bit unnerving, don't you? He whispered. I've never been comfortable with the idea of servants, much less robot servants. She's just an AI program, Rose said. It's all part of machine learning. You should see some of the programs they're developing in the lab. Frank opened the cupboard and reached for a mug. Machine learning? Well, that's a term I've never heard before. At the rate of technological development, we may no longer need superpowers in the future. I've never really considered that. Her phone vibrated. A message popped up. They're action heroes, not thinking heroes. Change the subject. It's not a big deal, Rose answered. Well, I think it's a significant development, don't you? At what point is a superpower even necessary? She glanced at her phone. A new message popped up. Get him to change the subject now. The hot chocolate smells amazing, she said. Thank you. I've always loved baking, but never had the time for it, he said as he searched through the drawer. It's a new home, and I haven't the slightest idea where anything is, but I did manage to whip this hot cocoa up a few hours ago. The key is to let it steep but not burn. The magical ingredient isn't love, it's time. He continued to rummage through the drawers in frustration, mumbling the word ladle over and over again. You might want to ask your trusted virtual assistant, Rose said. I can help you with any reconfigurations you'd like. He waved her off. You know, when I was young, we had a group of heroes that warned about the technology thing. They were a bit reactive, to be fair. They wouldn't let us use a basic grappling hook. Felt like you should do everything with your bare hands and whatnot. But they made a little bit of sense. They claimed that someday the technology would replace all the heroes. We wrote them off as crazy, but I'm starting to think they had a point. You know, Val might be able to help you find what you're looking for, Rose said. Did you hear that? He asked. Hear what? Rose asked. The electrical ghost lady didn't speak to you, he pointed out. Oh, that's by default. She's programmed to recognize your voice. Oh, but what if I change it to a mid-Atlantic accent? Raw, you see here, I could talk like this in an old-timey radio voice. You'll have to try that out, Rose said. He looked up in the air and spoke with his best thick southern accent. There's Val. I hate to be an inconvenience, but would you happen to know where a ladle is? A drawer opened slowly, and the ladle began to float. Frank's eyes widened. She really is a ghost, he said. It's just magnets, Rose said. Nothing special. Our lab has a whole line of magnetic gadgets. You know, magnetics was once a significant superpower when I was a child. This is what I mean. The technology might replace us. His face grew somber. We had a hero named Magnetron. That was her power. I don't know what she would do if she were still alive. Go out and become an accountant? I mean, clearly, you've perfected all things magnetic. She'd be out of a job. Rose's phone buzzed again. Distract him. Get him off this line of reasoning. We'll always need heroes with powers, Rose said as Frank ladled the hot chocolate into enormous mugs. There are several heroes right now who combine their magnetic powers creatively with the Gear Industries technology. It didn't replace their powers, but it did enhance them. I suppose, Frank said, as he waved her over to the next room. Here's the family room. I've never had a family of my own. Maybe I should call it the living room. Then again, living room wouldn't fit well for a man who hasn't had much of a life. He tried his best to give an awkward laugh, but it just sounded depressing. You single-handedly took down, he waved his hand dismissively. You're talking about Swift Strike now. But in this moment, I'm Frank, and Frank was frozen for years, while his friends and family continued living. That was the first thing I did when we woke up. I called every number. I remembered them by heart. One by one, I went through my mental list until I realized I was all alone. Most of them had died. Rose's phone vibrated. She tapped on the screen and read the alert. You need to get him to stop talking now, the message read. Let's configure your Gear Industries app. Should we start with your tablet? Rose asked. Tablet? He raised an eyebrow, then shrugged his shoulders and grabbed a yellow legal pad. No, a different kind of tablet. I'm referring to the flat screen that works like a computer, Rose said. That's right, yes, that's right. The tablet. I forgot people call these tablets. Yes, it's on the table, Frank said as he placed the mugs on a silver tray. He maneuvered around the mahogany furniture and opened the curtains to reveal a floor-to-ceiling window with a breathtaking view of the city. He stared out for what felt like an eternity. Rose sat still on the couch. Her phone vibrated again, but she didn't pick it up. Turning to Rose, Frank waved his hand at the city skyline and said, "There's so much of this city that I've never explored." "Why don't you?" Rose asked. "Well, it's hard to make plans when you're always on call. Even harder to make friends," he lamented. Another message popped up. "Get him to grab the tablet." "So I'd love to check out your tablet and show you how we can integrate the tablet, your phone, your supersuit, and your home into one single ecosystem," Rose said. He winced in embarrassment. "I'm so sorry for keeping you waiting. You must have places you need to go and more important service calls than this old hero." He sauntered over to the opposite couch. Rose turned toward the coffee table and grabbed the mug from the silver tray. She pulled it up to her trembling hands. But then, all at once, the mug slipped and careened toward the floor. Rose jumped back to see Frank holding the mug on a saucer with one hand. She blinked twice and stared at him. She had read about it in the comics. She had seen his superpower in full CGI splendor at the movie theater. But this had happened without the blurry light or the whooshing sound that she had seen in the movies. This was his super speed. The silence just made it feel even more impressive. "Did you just use your superpower?" she whispered. "You didn't see anything," he said with a sly smile. Rose could barely manage to shake her head. "Well, I couldn't let you spill my homemade hot chocolate now, could I? Not on such a beautiful cashmere sweater," he added as he grabbed the tablet from the table. "Thank you," she said. Her phone buzzed again. "Nicely done. Keep it focused on the tech." Rose cleared her throat. "Let's see. It looks like you have an Android." "I have no such thing. I know an Android when I see one. I once took down an entire squadron of Nazi androids during the war." "I'm sorry. I was referring to your tablet." "It's a Nazi tablet?" he asked. "No, it's the name of it. It's just, it's an Android tablet. Could you just enter your passcode for me?" she asked. He entered his passcode, 1234, and pointed to the screen. "You know, I need to get those pictures into my computer. Could you help me with that?" he asked, pointing to the photo album. Rose knew this was beyond the scope of her tech help, but what could it hurt? "See this icon?" she said. He nodded. "Hold your finger on it and wait for the menu to show up. Then move down to the transfer to laptop, and that's it." "That's it?" he asked. "That's it," she said with a smile. "Are they really on my computer?" he asked. "Well, they're in the cloud." He cocked his head to the side. I don't see how water vapor could store data. It's not really a cloud. It's a network of... It's hard to explain. How could she explain the internet to someone who had been frozen in time since 1949? You know, I've always wanted to be an artist, he said. He opened the album and flipped through the screen. Rose's phone vibrated. Get him back on track. Focus on the Gear app, it read. Well, your pictures are beautiful, but the world needs heroes. You really think they're beautiful? He asked. Of course, Rose lied. The pictures were actually quite derivative and boring, but you can't say that to a stranger. Rose continued. The important thing to remember is the world needs heroes. I'm not so sure. Have you heard about climate change? Rose nodded. I can't take down climate change, she pointed out. Well, yeah, sure, but you have super speed. You have a gift. The world needs that gift, Rose said, trying to channel the best advice of every single comic book monologue she had read so many times that the binding had fallen apart. But isn't art a gift? He asked. Yes, but you have literally saved the world. So has art. You don't think art can save the world? He asked. The app. Get him to download the app, the message read. You have a superpower that no one else has. You can do what no one else can do. Is it really true, though? He said. When I was a child, we had Danger Drone. He had this gorgeous black and yellow suit. I was so jealous. It was so slick. But now they have unmanned drones that fly by someone sitting in an air-conditioned room sipping on an energy drink, and none of it matters because our insatiable thirst for consumption means polar bears are stuck on tiny blocks of ice, and somehow the entire Western U.S. is on fire. And I heard that someday AI will be able to fly drones all by themselves. We won't even need anyone sitting in an office drinking an energy drink. I see, was all that Rose could muster. He buried his head in his hands. Are you okay? Rose asked. Frank was sobbing. Big tears, heavy convulsions. Rose wasn't sure what to do. Give him an awkward side hug? Call for help? Grab a box of tissues? Instead, she simply sat on the sofa, 2 feet away from him, while he cried. Rose's phone vibrated repeatedly. Messages popped up so quickly she couldn't read a single one. But finally, he stopped crying. He wiped his tears and snot with a silk handkerchief he had kept in his pocket. I'm terribly sorry. I'm just not sure I can keep doing this, he said. Let's just focus on learning how to use this app, Rose said. And for the next 2 hours, she walked him through the Gear Industries app. She taught him how to track his stats, how to order repairs on his suit, and how to communicate with fellow heroes in their private network. She walked him through the configurations of Val and taught him how to make a nostalgic playlist of the songs of his college days. By the end, he seemed outright excited about the new technology. Rose drove back to the lab with the nagging question of whether AI would essentially erase all human error in people. And if so, would that be such a bad thing? Did we really want to place the fate of humanity in the hands of a hero who can't figure out how to get pictures off a tablet and put them onto a laptop? Or who suddenly starts bawling his eyes out in the middle of a fight? Then again, do we want to leave decision-making in the hands of smart machines incapable of bawling their eyes out in the middle of a battle? Rose snaked her way through the city streets until she reached the underground parking garage, where she rolled down the window for the facial recognition scan. The light remained red. What is this? She asked. Was the AI somehow struggling with this new shade of pink in her hair? She pressed the speaker button. What's going on? She asked. A hologram popped up. Your personal items are being boxed up, her supervisor said. What do you mean? This is why we use AI assistants, the man said to his colleague. Human tech is too volatile. I don't understand, Rose said. Apparently, one of our most important heroes has decided to quit in order to pursue a dream of being a street photographer using, get this, his tablet, not even a camera or a phone. Like a boomer, he wants to use his tablet. I don't understand what happened, Rose said. You failed, Rose. That's what happened. I've been here for 3 decades, and not once have I seen a simple help desk request lead to a hero quitting his job. So, I'm fired? Rose asked. Yes. And no, her supervisor answered. You're being transferred to hero training and development. Hero training and development, Rose asked, her mind swimming with the gadgets she might get to use with emerging heroes. That sounded like a promotion. You're number one in the leaderboards. You're a solid gamer, a decent athlete, and an excellent engineer. According to our predictive and analytics, you might be successful, but not as an engineer, her supervisor said. So I'm not fired? Rose asked. You've been promoted. Let the AI make the decisions and you'll be fine, her supervisor said. I still don't understand, Rose said. Listen, Rose, you're our next hero, her supervisor answered. But I'm not a hero, Rose protested. Not yet, but you will be. Just focus on actions. Use the automation. Let the AI make the decisions. Training begins in an hour. You'll be taking on his super suit. From this day forward, you are Swift Strike. All right, there you have it. That was my silly little short story. Hope you enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun to write, and it kind of tiptoes around the theme of AI and some of the fears and concerns that we have. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.